everyone, and we are back for another episode of Word of Mouth. I'm your co-host, Jeremy Wolf, joined by your host, of course, Dr. Alex Semide. Dr. Alex,
how's it going, brother?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Excited to get into this topic today because I think obviously there's a lot of people out there that suffer from cancer, and I thought it would be a good time for you to talk a little bit about mouth cancer. So why don't you set the stage
absolutely
for the conversation today?
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Like, cancer is a topic that we discuss a lot in general in society, right? Like, everybody knows someone who's been touched by the disease, right? By the process. So as dentists, you know, it kind of rests on us to bring knowledge and awareness about oral cancer. Which I cannot begin to tell you, man, how frequently when we're doing someone's comprehensive initial checkup and we're doing their oral cancer screening, they tell me no one's ever done this before, which is crazy to me. Cause, honestly, like, historically there's been kind of like a divide between medicine and dentistry. It's two different bodies somehow. And, you know, my wife's a physician, so we talk about this all the time, how there's that gap in between. Doctors get like half a day's worth of, hey, this is a mouth. All right. And now onto the circulatory system, you know, and basically that's it. Right. So no one is looking inside patients' mouths other than their dentist.
The dentist. Yeah. There's a disconnect there. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing the show, is to really bridge the gap and really explore the connection between your oral health and your overall well-being. And I must say myself, I've never had anybody, not that I know of, screen me for mouth cancer. Right. So like you just said, doesn't seem to be a common practice when I go to the dentist, because they've never told me anything about it. And they say, hey, we're going to go in and do a screening for mouth cancer. Never heard that before. So it's interesting.
Now, how would you feel if I tell you that oral cancer kills one American an hour?
Wow.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. And, you know, oral cancer, like, no one wants any cancer, right? All cancers are bad. But in the pantheon of struggling and having your quality of life affected by a cancer, oral cancer ranks pretty high.
One of the worst ones, I'd imagine. Yeah, because it's affecting where you eat.
The way you eat, speak, talk, smile. Yeah, everything. Like, your ability to live your life, right, is so profoundly affected. Even if it doesn't kill you, right, the treatment and the impact that it has on the mouth can be devastating. I've had the opportunity, the responsibility to treat a handful of patients with oral cancer that have been dealing actively with the process of managing the disease in my practice. And man, I gotta tell you, it is so hard on people. That's why I'm such a strong advocate of screening regularly. All of our new patients get screened. We screen at your yearly checkups when you come in for your hygiene visits, because like with cancers and all disease in general, the sooner we catch this, the less of an impact it's going to have on your life, right? Not only is your survival rate going to increase dramatically, but the process by which you get healthy is going to be so much easier to tolerate.
So what is mouth cancer as it compares to other cancers, and how does it typically develop in patients? Like, why would somebody end up getting mouth cancer as opposed to lung cancer, some other type of cancer? And once they get mouth cancer, that's something, obviously, as with many other cancers, that can metastasize and spread to other areas, right?
Exactly. So there are several risk factors for oral cancer, right? The fact of the matter is that we don't know why some people with risk factors develop it, why some people without risk factors develop it. And this goes for all cancers, right? Like, how many of us know people that have been like the shining light and example of healthy living, you know, fitness, nutrition, never smoke, never drank, and they end up, you know, getting a stage 3 diagnosis of cancer, right? And it's like, oh my God, like, I never would have thought this person would have been the one that developed the disease, right? So at the end of the day, we're not quite sure why, but there are several risk factors that we know contribute to it. Let's go down the list. Number one, smoking. Smoking is number one. I do not harp on smoking. I smoked for years. I quit several years ago, but I still struggle with it. So I am not a get on my soapbox and tell you how naughty you are for smoking. I get it, right? And it's a really tough habit to quit, but it's just, there's no arguing the fact that it is a very high risk factor for developing all sorts of cancers.
So many people, speaking of smoking, so many people now have turned to vaping. And I guess the jury's still out on that, right? Like, it's so new. Have you seen any impact from people that great come question. In the mouth that say they're now, oh, I stopped smoking, but now I'm vaping instead? What are you seeing in the mouth?
Yeah, great question. I will say, I think the vaping thing has died down a little bit from where it was, I don't know, 2-3 years ago. I felt like, you know, babies were vaping 3 years ago. I haven't seen any good research on the impact of vaping, right? What we do know is that one of the key contributors of smoking to the oral cancer is the heat that you get from the constant drags of the cigarette in the mouth. And I would guess it would depend on the type of vape pen, whether it generated a lot of heat or not, as to whether you would get that component. Obviously, with vaping, you're not getting all of the other carcinogens, right, that are in cigarettes. So I don't have a concrete answer on that. The jury's still kind of out on the whole vaping thing as far as cancer goes.
Okay.
But in addition to smoking, we have dipping, right? We live in the South, and dipping is, I mean, I had buddies in dental school that would not go to a single class without a dip in their mouth, right? Like, it's not just the public out there, right? Like, we're all guilty of things like these. But yeah, dipping is definitely parking that tobacco pouch in the same spot. I mean, it doesn't take a long time to visibly see changes in the tissue where that tobacco is resting. Like, the tissue gets firm and callous, and you can almost see it starting to transform into something unhealthy.
Yeah, I could see how dipping would be one of the top underlying causes or risk factors associated with this, for sure.
Yeah. It's big. Another big one is excess alcohol consumption. Right. And there's a lot of back and forth as to what excess means. Right. But if it's more than a drink or two every single day, then we're getting into that territory where your risk starts to increase. And with tobacco and alcohol, we have this synergistic effect. Synergy is my office manager's favorite word. So we have this synergistic effect where 1 + 1 = 3. Okay.
Yeah.
So smoking alone is a risk factor. Drinking alone is a risk factor. When you put them together, it's a deadly combination.
Okay? And people typically that drink a
lot, they kind of go hand in hand, you know, have a drink and have a smoke.
Alcohol is one of those that's just it's one thing to have a couple of drinks here and there, but when you drink a large quantity, at least for me now, when I drink a large, I feel like I've been poisoned. If I drink more than a certain amount of drinks, I'm sick for not just the day, but the day afterwards. I feel absolutely disgusting. One of the reasons I don't really drink anymore, I'll have a beer, maybe two beers.
Same here.
Maybe once in a while when I go out, I'll go out, but then it reminds me again how bad
the price to pay is just,
And it's,
but I mean, and poison's the perfect word, right? Like, alcohol is a poison that our body has to work out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that comes at a cost. And it comes at a cost for several things, right? For disease, for longevity, for quality of life, for quality of relationships. Tread with care with the alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah. What other risk factors are we talking about here?
So those are the big two. You also have HPV, right? A lot of people have heard of HPV, the human papillomavirus. There's a vaccine for it. Okay. HPV is an STD, a sexually transmitted disease. And most adults will at some point be carriers of HPV. All right. Now, there are specific strains of this HPV that if they colonize the throat, the mouth and throat, they can lead to mouth cancer. So HPV is the number one cause for cervical cancer. And the same kinds of tissues that women have in the cervix, we have in our mouth and throat, right? So this virus can actually inoculate there, set up shop, and devolve into what we call a dysplasia, which is cells kind of breaking bad, and then ultimately a cancer.
Fascinating. It's all connected. It's all
now
connected.
With the HPV, there is a vaccine that, you know, conversations should be had with teenagers' physicians as to whether or not they feel it's a good idea to get that vaccine. But that is available out there, and it is very protective.
All right, so I go to your office and I get a screening for mouth cancer, and mm-hmm. you get the results back, and I have mouth cancer.
Yeah.
What do we do then? What are the treatment options? What does that look like for somebody?
So that really depends on the stage. Yeah. Ideally, we're finding something that is minute, right? And it can be excised or removed. And sometimes that's it. Okay. Sometimes the removal requires, I mean, I've seen it involve removing half the tongue, parts of the jawbone, and then followed up with radiation and chemo, depending on the severity of it, for a very prolonged period of time. The radiation is particularly tough in the mouth, just based on what we've talked about before, right? The quality of life, your ability to talk and chew and just exist. Yeah. Obviously things like, you know, dental health take a profound hit. Generally several, if not all teeth end up needing to be removed. And then prosthetics made in order to regain function and somehow maintain aesthetics. But, yeah, absolutely. The sooner people get screened and things are identified, the better. The screening process takes 2 minutes. It literally is super quick. It is a visual and tactile evaluation. So there are no samples that need to be sent out to a lab or anything like that. We're not taking biopsies of anything, but we feel, right? Like our hands are very powerful tools, right? We feel all of the lymph nodes associated with the head and neck, all of the tissue inside the mouth, the tongue, the floor of the mouth, to make sure there's no lumps, bumps, masses, anything that shouldn't be there, right? And that's frequently their very first indication.
So what should I look for? Let's just say I haven't been to the dentist and I haven't had a screening for this. And what are some signs I could look for? Like, let's say if I feel something lumpy over here, or like, what can I do on my own to determine if there might be an issue? So then I then can go to my dentist and, hey, can you do a screening for mouth cancer?
If you feel a lump there, I would say seek an evaluation, right? Yeah. Go to either an ENT, go to your primary, go to your dentist and say, hey, I noticed this. Any idea what this could be? All right. Other early signs that folks should keep in mind are any sort of sore in the mouth, you know, that doesn't heal in a week or two. May want to get that checked out, right? We all get sores in the mouth. You can get canker sores. Some of us get cold sores. You can, you know, eat a Tostito and like cut the roof of your mouth and it'll be sore for a few days, but that heals. Now, if those things kind of persist more than a week, getting to 2 weeks, get it checked out. Another big one is any like a sore throat or any hoarseness that doesn't seem to improve. I actually diagnosed my insurance guy. Like, he came in to talk about my life insurance policy. And he was like clearing his throat a lot. And I was like, dude, what's going on? He's like, I don't know, sore throat for a couple of weeks. I feel like I just can't clear it out. I'm like, man, like we're going to get you into an ENT like tomorrow. And sure enough, he had throat cancer. And thankfully he made it. He did great. He's returned to a full, healthy life, but it was a rough patch for a long time. So, yeah, those things, sometimes little innocuous things, right, that you just sort of like brush off as nothing. Like, if things linger, guys, go see someone. Get it checked out.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So you're generally, when you do these checkups, you're determining whether or not there's a warning sign associated, something that could potentially be throat cancer or mouth cancer. And then obviously right. you have somebody you could refer them to, or they can go to their preferred doctor to get that investigated. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We have, you know, if that were to happen, obviously there's an escalation and a team building process of oral surgeons and oncologists and, you know, that come together to provide the right care.
All right. Good deal. Anything else you wanted to touch on
before yes. we wrap this up? So April is actually Oral Cancer Awareness Month. All right. So I feel like this episode is very apropos. We are actually offering complimentary oral cancer screenings all month at the office. All right. So you can give us a call, 954-581-0120. Check us out, SemadeDental.com, all the socials, and get in touch with us. We do have some, you know, limited availability throughout the month, but we are offering those complimentary exams. And we'll be actually going out into the community and doing some free screenings too.
Very cool. We will, of course, put a link in the description to all Absolutely. Of your contact information. So if anybody does want to come in for a free screening, they can do so. Alex, Dr. Alex, always a pleasure.
Jeremy, my pleasure.
Right.
You're the thanks. Man.
No, you're the man. You're the man. All right. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We will catch everyone next time. Stay healthy out there and keep smiling.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on Word of Mouth. Remember, a healthy smile is a reflection of your well-being. Until next time, keep smiling and caring for your dental health. We'll be back soon with more dental insights.